to flee. Oh, tell me who can stand before us when we call on His great name. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, we have the victory.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Acts chapter 8 is where I'd like to turn your attention. Amen. I want to use an example tonight from Scripture that if we'll heed this example, it'll bless your life. It'll bless the life of your family. It'll bless our church. Amen. You'll get a hold of it in just a little bit. Let me read here first, Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse number 1. Thank you, musicians. Amen. Don't they make it look so easy? Praise the Lord. Thank God for Holy Ghost-filled musicians. Amen. Thank the Lord. Acts chapter 8, beginning to read with verse 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Thank God that's not going on. Amen. But if it ever does, God will keep us. Amen. 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 I believe that. Verse number 4, continuing. Sorry, that was not in the script. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. And many taken with palsies that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Someone say joy.
Joy.
Amen. Boy, that was pretty good. Whew. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. Well, they had it wrong. And to him they had regard because of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. My topic today, you know, of course, this is the beginning of the New Testament church. This is, you know, Acts chapter 8. This is happening. This is, you know, where things are being established. The church is really coming into its own and people are believing and persecution's coming, but God's still blessing. I want to talk about this subject in this atmosphere, in this portion of Scripture. Keys of revival. Say that with me. Keys of revival. Lord, I love you. I thank you. We ask even now, Lord, that you would give anointing, God, to this people. Anoint me, Lord, that I might say of your word. And Lord, have the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And open our hearing, Lord, of every person here, of everyone that might hear this recording, of all that would, God, even read these scriptures, God, that you, Lord, would be exalted. God, that all that is about us, even in this house tonight, Lord, would be anointed of the Holy Ghost. God, that you would touch our lives and use us, God, for your glory. Have your way in our lives, I pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. There's a key here. If we look, we don't have to look for new instructions, okay? All the instructions we need to find all that we need in God is right here in the Word of God. Amen. We don't have to invent anything. Praise the Lord. You see, revival, it did then. It brought great joy. It brought deliverance. It brought healing. It brought just wonderful stuff to the lives of the people. And established a great church that is in existence today. Those that are believers in the name of Jesus Christ. We are a part of that church. Amen. Praise the Lord. Revival brings great joy. It brings deliverance. You know, and it doesn't matter what your background was. It doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter who you were or who you are. God is not a respecter of persons. Every one of us needs this example. I need this example. Amen. In John chapter 4, Jesus said he must go through Samaria. Now, at that time, Jews normally chose other routes around in that journey. Normally, they didn't choose to go through Samaria. Even though they were perhaps miles out of the way, Jesus wanted to go through Samaria. However, this time, there was a special compulsion. There was a reason that Jesus chose. In fact, he said he must go through Samaria. The special compulsion of the master to go through this area was a soul that was in need of living water. Amen. The woman at the well. Praise the Lord. As Jesus came weary and thirsty to Jacob's well, near Sychar, a city of Samaria, a woman approached the well to draw water. It was an unusual time in the middle of the day, and it was unusual that the woman would choose to carry water in the heat of the day. But the woman came to be drawing water, her daily supply of water, but it wasn't the right time to be doing that. But it was the right time for her to find the water that would quench her eternal thirst. Amen. Wrong time to carry physical water. But because Jesus chose to be there at that time, I believe Jesus knew this lady would be there right when he showed up. He knew ahead of time that he was going to talk to this lady, that he was going to show her something about himself that she needed to hear. Amen. You know, following her conversion, her conversation. Yes, she was converted. She believed Jesus. He told her her past, and she was convinced about what Jesus was saying. The woman was so convinced, in fact, that she ran back into the city of Sychar in Samaria, telling the other people that she knew, the men there, that he had told her all her past. He knew about the five husbands. He knew about the one she was living with that wasn't her husband. She, you know, you can't hide anything from Jesus, man. Just give up. You can't hide anything from God. God already knows the truth about what's going on. So Jesus just up front tells her all this whole story, and she's convinced because he knows my life. You know what? God knows your life. Amen. Anyway, she is so convinced. She runs back into the city, tells the other people. And there was a revival that was yet to come to the Samaritans. And that revival would shake the people. It would bring spiritual power into the lives of Gentiles. Amen. Hadn't happened yet, but it's going to happen. You see, this is how the story is being set up by Jesus Christ, okay? Praise the Lord. The keys of revival are present in this story of Philip and the revival in Samaria. It happened then. It can happen now. Amen. It's the same God then as today. Jesus is the same Lord he was then as he is now. Amen. Philip preached Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the preaching that our world needs to hear today. Amen. Don't get tired of hearing about the preaching of Jesus Christ. Amen. Our world needs to hear the preaching of Jesus Christ. We need to hear the preaching of Jesus Christ. I need to hear the preaching of Jesus Christ. Well, that's one point. Check that off. Philip preached Jesus Christ. The second point here, a key to revival, is Samaria believed the message. That's another important part. You see, people have to believe the message of Jesus Christ in order to have revival. Check that off. There's people in this church that believe Jesus Christ is God. There's people right here under the sound of my voice that are absolutely convinced that Jesus is the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Check that off. Amen. God's doing good things in our midst. Amen. I know there's people here that love Jesus. Amen. That know that he is God. Amen. Check that off. It's a key to revival. Number three, the key, a key to revival is the power of the Holy Ghost was poured out. Amen. You see, the power of the Holy Ghost cannot be, it's not pretend. It's real. Amen. God really can. God really does change lives. Amen. God really does fill people with his Spirit. Yes, people really do speak in an unknown language when they receive the Holy Ghost speaking in other tongues. It's real. Praise the Lord. Check that off. It's a key to revival. Praise the Lord. Wherever the gospel is preached, be it 2,000 years ago in Samaria, Jerusalem, the Holy Land, or be it right now today in this in Uncasville, Connecticut, the uttermost part of the earth. I think they're talking about us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Wherever this gospel of Jesus Christ is preached, it still works. Amen. The gospel of Jesus Christ is still saving souls. It's still changing lives. It's still delivering people. It's still remitting sins. It's still infilling with his Spirit. It still works. Amen. The preaching of the gospel. You see, God will, he has, he does, and he's going to confirm his word with signs following. God keeps his word. It's already written. It's been established. This is what God gave us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Check that off. I believe God is the same. Amen. It's a key to revival. In Mark chapter 16, verse 20, it says, "And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following." Amen. Just, you know, if it says it in the Word of God, you can put your finger on the page and say, "God, this is what you said in your word." Amen. You can believe it right now. You can believe it today. God's word is still true. Amen. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Sometimes I have dyslexia. No, I just read it wrong. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria." We just read that part. "And unto the uttermost part of the earth." That's Uncasville. That's us. That's right here. That's Connecticut. Or Tennessee or California or Wisconsin. Or North Dakota or California. You know, God's not restricted by where you are. Amen. Praise the Lord. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus declared that those who received the Holy Ghost would be witnesses. That's what the Word of God is saying. I'm slowing down right here on purpose. Those who received the Holy Ghost would be witnesses unto him, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Acts 1 verse 8. God wants you. Anybody in here seen a wonderful act of God? Anybody in here felt his presence? Anybody in here, can you testify that you know that you have felt the presence of God? Anybody in here ever been filled with the Holy Ghost? Anybody in here ever been healed in your body? Anybody been delivered? Anybody ever had God do a miracle in your life? He's still doing it. Thank you, Brother Dyke. Then be a witness. It's a key right here. I'm talking about, I'm using scripture to try to underline or highlight. You know, if I had my yellow highlighter right now, I'd be wiping it across people's forehead. You got to recognize this is God moving here. You got to tell somebody about the greatness of God. About how God did something wonderful in your life. How that God healed your sick baby. How that God touched my body. How that God lifted my soul. How that joy rang in my life. How that God changed me. God, it's a key to revival. We have to be a witness. Praise the Lord. You see, from the beginning of the church, I'm reading an account here of the early New Testament church, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. From the beginning, world evangelism was the call and the purpose of the apostolic church. From the very beginning, It was never meant to be just in the city of Jerusalem. It wasn't meant to be just for the Jews or just for the Samaritans. Or it wasn't meant to be just in Israel. It was never meant to be contained within a single place. However, as the case sometimes is, the disciples were content. God has a way to get us uncontent if we're not doing it His way. God wants us to do it His way. Amen. The disciples were content to remain in Jerusalem and to do the work of God right there. I mean, why not? It's happening. It's revival. God is moving. People are being saved by the thousands, and it's expounding. It's going to every corner of the city, of the region, of the country. It's going everywhere. It's going. You know, it's an exciting time. Why would you want to leave a place like that? Well, they didn't want to leave. They wanted to stay there. They wanted to remain in Jerusalem, enjoying the blessings of God at home. However, God intended for this gospel to be preached in all the world. It has always been that this gospel is to reach every soul on earth. Amen. Then comes persecution in Jerusalem. Great persecution came upon the believers as they declared the good news of the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, most noted among the persecutors was one called Saul of Tarsus. Zealous, and he was well learned, and he was well equipped, and he was authorized to put down this Jesus preaching. He was well trained. He knew the prophets. He contended that any other message was heresy and worthy of death. The seventh chapter of Acts records the persecution of the church at the hand of Saul, especially as he consented to the death of Stephen, held the coats as they stoned this preacher, this believer, this child of God, was murdered. You see, as a result of this type of great persecution, people, believers in Jesus Christ, were actually being killed. The church scattered. They went abroad. They went to different cities. They went to different places. They went to different regions and went everywhere preaching the word. That's what the Bible says, Acts chapter 8, verse 4. They didn't just go, they went preaching the word. So as they fled, they did not give up on Jesus Christ. They did not give up on their belief. They didn't give up on their faith. Never give up on your faith. No matter what happens, no matter what comes, no matter what goes, no matter what comes in this life, I cannot tell you what the future holds, but I do know Jesus Christ holds the future. Amen. Jesus is going to see us through. He's going to help us in whatever state we are in. Amen. They were scattered abroad by the winds of persecution, and they took this gospel of Jesus Christ with them. Philip, he's in this event. He's in this scattering, if you will. Philip goes to Samaria. In Acts chapter 6, it's recorded that confusion arose over the ministry of the Grecians and to the widows to meet the need and to leave time for them to accomplish the work of the ministry. The apostles appointed 7 men as deacons to oversee the distribution of goods and food among the church people. They were reputable, they were honest, they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they had wisdom. They were wise men. One of these men appointed to this office of deacon was named Philip. It is interesting to note that Stephen, another one of the deacons, was the first martyr in the New Testament church, while Philip, he became the first home missionary. He went to Samaria. Philip went to Samaria with the message of the cross of Jesus Christ. A message of deliverance. A message of hope for those that were bound by the sinful human nature. He had the message of this gospel. Amen. It's the same message today. I endeavor to the very best of my ability to preach the very same thing that they preached. Just to take it right off the words of the Bible and deliver the mail. Just say it like it is. Just give it the truth right there from the Word of God. Philip preaches Jesus. Philip took to Samaria the message of the crucified Christ. As Philip preached Jesus Christ to the Samaritans, mighty things were happening. Revival broke out in the city. God honored the preaching of his word. In a prophecy of his death, Jesus had declared from John chapter 12, verse 32, it says there, "And if I," Jesus speaking, "if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." Not only did Jesus predict in this verse of scripture his death on the cross, but he also showed the principle that when he is lifted up before the world, conviction and the power of salvation draws people unto him. In the case of Samaria, as Philip preached Christ, miracles transpired. The people received salvation. Great miracles were seen there in Samaria. God's still doing miracles. He's still a miracle working God. God is still the God he was, he is right now. He will be again tomorrow. You can have absolute confidence and faith. You can write it down. You can put your finger on the page. This is what God does. Amen. Mark chapter 16, beginning at verse 17 to 20, it says, "And these signs shall follow them that believe." Doesn't say it's going to follow the pastor. Doesn't say it's going to follow the evangelist. Doesn't say it's going to go along with the office of the deacon. No. All you got to do is believe. Amen. All you got to do is believe. "These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. They became witnesses of Jesus Christ. They began beginning to say the things that Jesus said. They began to do the things that Jesus did. They followed Jesus according to his word. Just as Jesus Christ had promised. As Philip preached, when he was preaching Jesus Christ in a city in Samaria, the Samaritans heard and saw miracles. Acts chapter 8, verse 6. We already read that. Luke, the writer of the book of Acts, recorded that unclean spirits were cast out and many people who suffered from palsy and were lame were healed. The Lord was working with them, confirming the word with signs following. Mark 16, verse 20. I'll tell you what, I am so thrilled. I am so glad that we serve the same God that's in Scripture. It's the same God back then as is now. God is still doing the same stuff today. If you want to have revival as an individual, if you want to have revival in your family, if you want to have revival in our church, if you want to have revival in our community, if you want to be a part of revival in the wide world, be a witness.
Yes. Amen.
Just follow the example in Scripture. Just believe the Word of God. Amen. Unclean, okay, the many people that suffered with palsy were lame, they were healed. The Lord is working with them, Mark 16, 20. Jesus Christ heals the sick. And when miracles occur, they draw attention of the people to Jesus. Right. Amen.
Amen.
You see, the purpose here, the purpose of healings and miracles and divine intervention and great signs from God, it is never to bring glory or honor to a man. Never, not the preacher, not the evangelist, not the, oh, I got to get so-and-so evangelist to pray for me. No, you need Jesus Christ to heal your body. Oh, man, don't put attributes of God on a person. You're messing up if you are. The attributes of God don't belong to any person. But every person can be a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ. Amen. God can do miracles when you pray. If you believe in Jesus Christ and you pray, God, heal my baby. God can heal your baby. Amen. God can touch your family. God can heal. God can deliver. He is the great God. Amen. Never give it to a person. It always belongs to Jesus Christ. He gets all of the glory, all of the praise, all of the honor. Every good thing comes from him. Amen. Let's give the credit where credit is due. God is a good God. You heard that before? All the time. God is good. The greatest of all miracles. Greater than, oh, I had my back healed. I had a, oh, it hurt so bad I had a slipped disc in my back. It was just excruciating. And I tell you what, having God heal my back in a moment was a pretty great feeling. Woohoo! Man, I took off running. I was ecstatic. It was a really great miracle to me. You probably had your own great miracle. Okay, well, I'm testifying to my great miracle. Wow, man, that was great. Oh, that feels so good. I was worshiping and praising. I was just beside myself. God, heal me. Greater than having a healed back is receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's greater to have a transformed life, to be healed from a sin-sick soul. It's greater to be a born-again child of God than to have a healed back. Hallelujah. Much greater. I can't express the, you know, my healing of my slipped disc in my back. Man, it was so good. I tell you, it was awesome. But in comparison, mine is way down there, and Holy Ghost is way up there. Yes, yes, yes. Okay, so the Holy Ghost is a gift from God. Get this now. If you want revival in your life, here's something that is going to come with that revival in your life. Great joy came. Someone say, great joy.
Great joy.
Acts 8, verse 8. And there was great joy in that city. I'm just bringing you the word of God. I'm trying to go slow right here so you can comprehend what I'm trying to say. Great joy comes with the Holy Ghost. Amen. You know, you might... In the flesh, we can be so worried about so many things and have so many concerns and have, you know, just be weighted down from the cares of the life that we live and just be weighted down upon us, you know, because of the opposition of the enemy, and you can't do this and can't do that, and the weight of the world is on your shoulders. And you know what? When the Holy Ghost leads you, you know God is going to help you. Great joy comes with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Philip preached to the Samaritans the message of the cross, a message that brought them deliverance through Jesus Christ. And with this message of hope for salvation came great joy. You see, as of this point, in this portion of the story, no one had received the Holy Ghost in Samaria yet. But they experienced great joy. They believed God. They had repented. They had been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. There is revival going on in the city. Wonderful stuff is happening. Revival is taking place. It's a gift from God. God's touching and delivering and helping, and God's doing great things. Because they had received the message of Jesus Christ, the preaching of Philip, they obeyed the gospel. The Samaritans were now ready to receive the Holy Ghost. The gift of God that completes a person's salvation experience. Your salvation experience is not yet complete if you haven't received the Holy Ghost. There's still more good stuff for you from God if you haven't yet received the Holy Ghost. And here it was. It's a wonderful example of revival taking place in a whole city. And yet, they had not received the Holy Ghost. A genuine revival first affects the believers, the church. Revival prepares the church to reach out to others who need to experience the saving power of Jesus Christ, who need to have that great joy, who need to be delivered, who need the presence of God to touch them. You see, revival is never intended to be restricted to a local assembly of believers. It's never meant to be contained within the walls of a building. It extends its influence to the whole community. It wants to touch every person in your family. It wants to touch even those that you are buddies with, your friends, your co-workers. God wants to reach across the great divide of sin and save their soul also. Amen. God wants to reach the whole world with this message of hope and deliverance. This message of Jesus Christ, this Acts 2:38, one God, Jesus' name, repent and get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ by immersion in water, the infilling of the Holy Ghost, and living a holy life is what God wants for every one of us. The Samaritans believed and responded. Acts chapter 8, verse 6. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. You see, the reason why God wants to do great things is that God would receive the glory. Amen. That you can be a witness. God wants to empower you by His Spirit, by the Holy Ghost. You might think, well, I can't tell my buddy that. When you're full of the Holy Ghost, you can. Amen. You can. God will give you power to be a witness. It's in the Word of God. You can put your finger on the page. You can believe God for His Word. God wants you to be a witness. Tradition. Pause for just a moment. The message of the cross that Philip is preaching, that every believer in Jesus Christ has, it was new to them. It was new to the Samaritans. Philip came preaching something, telling something, testifying to something about they did not know of. There are so many people in our world today, right here in this community, in New London County, in the little boroughs and cities and communities and places all around us. There's people everywhere in this area that they don't understand. They don't know this. They're just like the Samaritans. The Samaritans heard there was a God. They believed in, they had their own beliefs. You know what? You go around to almost anybody in this area and say, oh yeah, I believe in God. But they need to believe in this God that Philip was preaching, that the Word of God has, the infilling of the Holy Ghost. You see, this preaching conflicted with their beliefs in Samaria. In this preaching that is done in this church, that I am privileged to bring from the Word of God to this people, it's a privileged message. But it also conflicts with the traditions of men. It conflicts with so many other religions. You mean I got to be holy? Yep. That's what the Word says. God wants you to be holy because He is holy. You mean I got to be baptized a certain way? The way that I got baptized isn't good enough for you? No. Whoa, back up. Don't get baptized for me. You getting baptized for me ain't going to help you. You got to get baptized for Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Because if you're not baptized in the name of Jesus, well then Jesus, his name, is not in your baptism. You're not baptized unto Jesus Christ. You know, it's such a simple principle. It's so simple, it's contained in one single verse of Scripture in the Bible. That's how simple it is. Just one verse can tell you what needs to be done. But yet, so much of our world, it's against their tradition. Tradition cannot stand in the way of revealed truth. Philip came preaching Jesus Christ and signs following, great stuff was happening, revival was in the city. I tell you, truth will triumph. The message of Christ, of Jesus, and him on the cross, as it was declared by Philip, as it is written in the Word, brought an immediate change in the attitude and the conduct of the people of Samaria. It changed them. There are good traditions and there are bad traditions. But any tradition can enslave people if they are not open to the Word of God. If any tradition you have closes your belief of the Word of God, well, that's not what my mom said. That's not what my dad, that's not what we believe. What he said, she said, or you believed is all irrelevant. It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God that is going to judge us. It's the Word of God that we need to find and follow. Amen. Only God's Word can bring true freedom and liberty in Jesus Christ. When Philip declared the gospel of Christ in Samaria, the people received the word of God and they forsook unbiblical traditions and religions. Great things happened. Great changes occurred at the preaching of Jesus Christ and the cross. Miracles happened in the lives of the people as they witnessed the power of God and Philip's ministry to them. The preaching of the cross is the power of God unto salvation. Romans 1:16, 1 Corinthians 1:18. I'm trying to hurry along. I can't read all the references right now. The preaching of the cross brings conviction, contrition, confession. It leads a person to a changed lifestyle. Amen. The Samaritans were baptized and filled with the Spirit. When Philip preached the message of Christ to the people of Samaria, they were convicted of their sins. The contrition of their heart and their spirit led them to confess their sinful state, to repent of their sins. And they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's what happened in the Bible. That's what happened in Samaria. Acts chapter 8, verse 16. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Revival's happening, but they still need the Holy Ghost. Great joy was in the city. Miracles had taken place. A miracle doesn't mean you got the Holy Ghost. You get your backslip disc healed. Woo-hoo-hoo, man, that feels good. But that don't mean you have the Holy Ghost. You get delivered from a devil. That does not mean you have the Holy Ghost. None of that. It's all great stuff. It's from God. But there's more for you. The apostles sent for Peter and John to go to Samaria after they had heard that Samaria had received the word of God. Acts 8:14. And when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. When they arrived, they surveyed what had already transpired, and they recognized that the people were ready to receive the Holy Ghost. Acts 8, verse 17, then laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Just as Peter had preached on the day of Pentecost, and just as the Jews had received on that day, the Samaritans also received the Holy Ghost. Acts 2:38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Similar events occurred at Caesarea in the house of Cornelius, in Ephesus with the disciples of John the Baptist, Acts 19. I'm not reading those accounts right now. But in each of these instances, the apostles came from Jerusalem to minister unto them. Since God had given the apostle Peter the keys to the kingdom of God, it should also be noted that he was present for the initial outpouring of the Holy Ghost upon the Jews and the Gentiles and the Samaritans. Every one of them. He opened the door to finding salvation. He led people to Jesus Christ. He laid hands on them. Each of these groups, in each of these instances, they received the Holy Ghost with the sign of speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. Again, again, and again. This place, that place, and the other. Every time, God did the same thing. Through each group, or though each group had the initial experience with God, not one stopped short of the full experience of Bible salvation. All of them repented. They were baptized in Jesus' name, and they received the gift of the Holy Ghost. All of them had the same experience. We must never be content to stop short of the full plan of salvation. Never be content with just a little bit of a touch from God. Man, you want the whole thing. You want everything God has for you. Only a faith experience of repentance, baptism in the name of Jesus Christ by immersion in water for the remission of sins and receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues, it's the only thing that will do. And God wants you to be a witness. Amen. God gives you power to be a witness. Simon the sorcerer believed. Among those affected by the preaching of the cross and the infilling of the Holy Ghost was this man named Simon. Acts 8 verse 9, but there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. This tells me that anybody can have this experience. Amen. The people of Samaria gave heed to this guy formerly, to the point that they thought he was the great power of God. That was verse 10. As Philip preached and the Samaritans believed, Simon also came to believe and was baptized. When he saw the apostles laying hands on the people who then received the Holy Ghost, he desired to have the gift of laying on of the hands for people to receive the Holy Ghost. He wanted that gift. Thinking that he could purchase the gift, he offered money to the apostles. I'll tell you what, this is not for sale. You cannot buy this. Amen. This guy in Scripture tried and failed. Praise the Lord. The message of Calvary and the power of Pentecost is for every living person. Everybody needs this message. The experience brought to Samaria through the apostles is still real. It's still available. Still available to whosoever will. There are none too high, none too low, none too good, none too bad, none too rich, none too poor to be outside of the ability of God to fill you with the Holy Ghost. It's for everybody. It's for all of us. It's for our children, for our grandchildren. It's for junior campers. Let me throw that in there. God wants our young people to be full of His Spirit. It's for all people, even your enemies. No matter how distant from Jerusalem they may be, the uttermost part of the earth, even if you live in Connecticut. Acts chapter 2, verse 39, for the promises unto you and your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. God's not changing this plan. Amen. Joy and deliverance always accompany revival. God wants to give you great joy in your life, in your family, in your children, in your home, in your church, in your community. It's not even a secret. It's written in the Word of God. For real revival, just believe the Word of God. Revival by the Spirit of God is available right now, today, to whosoever will. It comes by the preaching of Jesus Christ and the cross. And you are witnesses of these things. You raised your hand and said you felt the power of God. God did something special in your life. God did something good in your faith. Praise the Lord. Amen. Stand with me. Probably every preacher from Pentecost and now has said that there's never been a time in history when genuine revival was needed more. Well, this preacher's saying it too. We need revival. The church needs revival. So that we might have power to be a witness, that our world might hear this message. Amen. Revival shakes communities. It shakes cities, states, nations. Revival will shake the world. There is revival going to come in this end time. Amen. And I want to be a part of it. I want to be right in the middle of what God's doing. Amen. If you want to be a part of it, let's lift your hands. Would you ask God right now, God, I want to be a part of the revival. God, your revival. God, I want to be a witness. God, I want you to do in me. Lord, your purpose. God, your will be done in my life. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Jesus, I worship you. Jesus, I praise you. The keys to revival are right here in our Word. They're right there in the pages of the Bible. They're right there in the Bible. They're right there in the story of Philip. Amen. He preached Jesus Christ. Samaria received the message, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Mark chapter 16, verse 20. I already read it a few times. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Praise the Lord. Don't be afraid to pray for someone. Amen. Don't be afraid to be a witness. God has given you power. One more time. Would you love him? Lord, I love you. I thank you. I praise you. In all, oh God, that you're doing, I thank you. I praise you. I magnify your name. Lord, I worship you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. I adore you. Wonderful God, I worship you. I praise your name. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your promise. Thank you for the power to be a witness. Thank you, Lord, for the great glory in your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Wonderful Savior. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Jesus, I worship you. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You're dismissed. Go be a witness. In Jesus' name, amen.